From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. You can tune in Saturdays at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on FM 101.1 Illinois Soul. We are speaking with Black healthcare professionals and a medical student about the mistrust over the years with Black Americans and the healthcare system. According to Pew Statistics, a majority of Black adults, 55%, say they've had at least one negative interaction with doctors or other healthcare providers. 4 in 10 say that they've had to speak up to get proper care, and about a third say that their pain has not been taken seriously, or their provider has rushed them out of the doctor's office. We will hear more about that soon from Diamond Ruby Coleman. She's a third-year medical student at Carle College of Medicine, and she elaborates more on her experience as a patient and now a student.
There are so many race-based calculations within medicine that needs to be just eliminated, because ultimately, race is not the risk factor. Racism is. It's the fact that we're getting differential treatment, differential care.
Among Black Americans, younger women are the most likely to say they've had negative experiences with healthcare providers, according to Pew Statistics. We also spoke with two doctors from Carle Health.
If you're African American in this country, I mean, the reality is we've had years and years of bad things, you know, that have happened that have led some people to have a great mistrust of the healthcare system. And I'd say we're still overcoming that even today.
Dr. Henry Moore and Dr. Napoleon Knight join us later in the conversation about the history of mistrust in the healthcare system. If you want to get in touch with the Dialogue team, you can leave us a voicemail at 217-244-1989 or email us at illinois-soul@illinois.edu. And you can connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at Illinois Soul. We now welcome Diamond Ruby Coleman to Dialogue. She's a third-year medical student at Carle College of Medicine. I first asked her what made her want to pursue a medical degree.
It is so cliche, but I honestly have been wanting to be a physician since I was 5 years old. But why I continue to want to be a physician is really due to all the medical and health inequities against Black communities. And so my goal and mission is to dismantle some of the policies and procedures that keep us at the bottom.
Historically speaking, what do you still see happening today that happened back then?
That's a tough one, because my honest answer is everything. I see that we are excluded in spaces, both on attending side, as physicians, as students. We're also excluded from participating in medical research, clinical trials, and so we're being excluded from care. I'm seeing us also being dismissed in terms of what our pain is. I'm seeing us not being listened to as patients on a consistent basis.
So you're a full-time student and you're also working a part-time job currently. Why make that choice?
I don't think people understand how costly seeking a medical degree is. And I'm saying this as someone with privilege. I get help from my family. And to be honest, it's still not enough to pay the bills, have a little fun, and also just have extra resources as well.
What is it like going into the healthcare profession, a predominantly white space?
As a young Black woman, I'm realizing that the saying that you have to work twice as hard to get half as much, that is a lie. I can't even tell you the number that it is, how hard you have to work to get a portion of that. I'm always advocating for myself. I'm always fighting. And so at times it is exhausting, but it is rewarding to see me have an impact in bringing other people that not only look like me, but also have the same passion and drive to bring other people along the way. I always say my purpose in being here is to leave a wedge in the door behind me. So that's what keeps me going.
Have you had a negative experience as a patient or soon to be healthcare professional?
Yes, on both ends. Which story would you like? On the patient end, this started, I would say, my sophomore year of college. Long story short, I realized that I had a dermoid cyst. That's the end of the story. But along the time, I would go to the services on campus. We had a wellness center with like these bad abdominal cramps. And I just thought that I was having very bad period pain. And they confirmed that. But I knew that something wasn't right. Like all of a sudden, I also was bleeding for 3 weeks out the month instead of 1 week out the month. There was times where I went and they were just like, oh, it's nothing. Like, it's okay. We'll just give you a little bit more Tylenol. And so I finally experienced like my pain not being realized for months on end. I think what got to the last straw with me, and I'm going to be a little embarrassed by saying this, but one day I was in class and I urinated on myself. And I was like, okay, this is not normal because I understand how to hold my bladder at this age. And so I called my mom and I told her that I needed to make a doctor's appointment when I got home to Chicago. At the time I was in LA. And so I had a black OBGYN at home. When I got home, she fully examined me, which I had never had while I was in LA. While I'm complaining of abdominal cramps, uterine pain, never had a full pelvic exam. And she felt a mass. She was like, it's huge. During this time, I was also gaining weight, but everyone just perceived that I was gaining weight from school, the stress, even the physician. She was like, oh, no, it's normal, you know, freshman 15. So my physician back home, she stated, like, as soon as she gave me a pelvic exam, she felt an adnexal mass, so a mass on my ovary. She sent me to get an ultrasound. She called me immediately the next day and told me that I have a cyst. She would like to remove it as soon as possible because it was the size of an eggplant. And I was so nervous and scared at that point. I never had any like major illnesses, no major surgeries. And so I had scheduled my surgery to be done during spring break. And she was actually very nervous for me to do so because it was like 3 months in between that waiting period. And she thought that I was at the point where I would have an emergency surgery because it was so big, she was scared that it would burst and rupture. That just reminds me of how important it is to listen to people. You can have as much medical knowledge as possible, but people are very aware of their bodies. They understand when something isn't right. And so as a physician or a budding physician, my goal is to always be a student, always be a learner, because I am trying to learn from you and we can work together to find out the best possible solution. But you are teaching me everything that I need to know about you.
We are currently speaking with Diamond Ruby Coleman. She's a third-year medical student at Carle College of Medicine, and she's elaborating more on her experience as a young Black woman entering the medical field. Many Black Americans have a huge distrust in healthcare, and as a young Black woman entering this field, how do you hope to help create trust with your patients in the future?
Honestly, I think it starts with validating that distrust. It doesn't matter how hard I work as an individual physician, they are correct to distrust the system, even today in society. I think we are working in a very broken system, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to join and enter it. But it's such a systemic issue that it would take a lot of... Because my true answer is that I wouldn't want them to trust the system. it's not for them. It's not meant for them. And I am unsure if we'll see a time in this century where they should trust the system. I've honestly wanted to make the parallel between healthcare and police. Like we say, they're good cops, they're good physicians that really do care for their patients, they care for their burden, they think of alternative routes in medicine, and will consider their patient's health first and foremost and really work to do shared decision making. However, I think there is a lot of work that needs to be done, which will happen outside of a one-to-one personal connection with between your patient and the physician. I think that is a start. And what comes with just building a little bit more trust is being honest with your patient, giving them options, allowing them to know what's available. I think an issue with physicians is that a lot of us, and I will speak from this as well, definitely have a God complex because of the experience that we go through. We learn a vast amount of information. And so we just presume that no one knows as much as us. We also have to be mindful of conscious and unconscious biases that we all carry. And some people have more than others that will determine whether or not the patient receives the information that they need to know. I have witnessed patients not receiving certain information because of biases that they are inept, uneducated, or they won't understand. And I think as a physician, your job is to break it down in a way that they understand. And I always say, if the only way that you can explain it is using medical terminology, then you don't understand it. Ultimately, it comes down to advocating for our patients on the Hill. Understanding policy, understanding how it affects us as physicians, what can we treat, what are we doing to perpetuate inequities on a systemic level. And I always mention like examples like GFR, for example. Now it's being changed. GFR is how you calculate how your kidney is functioning. It measures how well your kidney is filtering different proteins, and that's what we use as a baseline to see, do you have kidney infection, kidney disease? Is it declining? Is it getting better? But even still, some doctors still use the old calculation that overestimates GFR for Black patients but not for white patients, which will really determine the care you get. It'll determine if you get on a liver transplant list. Our skin doesn't automatically make us more at risk for cardiovascular disease or make us more at risk for liver disease. It's how we're treated and excluded from care.
What would be your advice to other young Black women or other young students of color wanting to go into this field but feeling discouraged for how much they are facing?
I would tell them to keep going. And I know it gets hard. You want to quit. You will be told that you're not good enough, and I want you to know that they're all lies. They are discouraging you because they know how special you are. They know how needed you are. They know that once you find your groove that you will thrive. And so it's not a matter of if you're capable or not, because I know that you are. It's a matter of, do you have the resources and the network to do so? I think being in medicine is all about mentorship and resources. The more you know, the more people you know, and it's who you know. And you just need to cultivate your team, cultivate your desires, and make an action plan and get it done.
What keeps you motivated to stay on track when things are getting hard or when you're facing barriers that other healthcare professionals just don't have to face?
Oof. So I guess I can start with what motivates me to keep me going, because there has been times where I want to quit. So that last message, I was speaking to myself, to be honest. I have been told by advisors that maybe medicine isn't for you. You should consider nursing. Your grades aren't good enough. Your scores aren't good enough. You're always not good enough. But you have to understand that you are being judged and perceived on metrics that never applied to you, never included you. It's off the basis of normative white male body. And so if you come to understand that you start to not compare yourself as much. And they always say comparison is a thief of joy, which it is, especially in this space. But medicine is very tricky because they promote competition. I like to say, like, you're always on a hamster wheel. It's always be the best so that you can get into medical school. And then now once you get in, be the best so that you can get a great residency spot. Then once you get in residency, be the best so that you can get a fellowship program. And so it really goes against my collaborative nature because I am very community forward. And I think that we can all win. There's space at the table for us all to eat. And that is what keeps me going. I find a community wherever I go, and I stay very close and very tight with that community. And I try to make sure that we're all moving along. And if we're not, how can we help each other to get there? When I'm struggling, I call on my support team. And that's why I said cultivate your team. And you, it can look very different for everybody. But for me, what it looks like, I have people on every level. I have medical students that's in my cohort. If that's not working, I may need to call on someone that's outside of my institution. If that's not working, I call on my physician mentors. If that's not working, I have three Black women at the medical school, actually, that I made a document just for step one. And I told them to pick a date to check in on me. Like, I know that I needed support that goes beyond this level. And each one of them serves a different purpose. But how do I deal with things that my classmates don't deal with? I think it's just a part of the game is being a Black woman. And I've accepted that I will go through and face many things that they don't have to deal with. And it's not that I'm okay with it. I've just come to accept it as a part of the Black tax. Not only do I have to do my work and study and be a great medical student, but now I have to be on DEI initiatives for the school, because if I'm not doing it, then nobody's doing it. Then I also have to experiencing my classmates being ignorant, blatantly ignorant, about not knowing how to treat Black patients or perpetuating race-based medicine and stating idiotic things like we have different genomes, which is just false. And so, yes, I have to experience, honestly, at this point, they're not even microaggressions, macroaggressions, blatant racism from classmates, from administration. And it's really just understanding how to navigate it, who to talk to, who to report, who to file a mistreatment on. And I haven't filed any mistreatment just off of fear of repercussions, but there has been plenty of times that I've gone through the school, and I know that my experience is partly due to race, but it's so, sometimes it's hard to explain or prove. So it's just unfortunate, and I am looking forward to a world where other students won't have to go through this, but this is one of the things that haven't changed.
Diamond, thank you so much for having this dialogue with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great conversation.
You're listening to Dialogue on Illinois Soul. I'm Kennedy Vincent. Dialogue is an exchange about culture straight from the soul. We just spoke with Diamond Ruby Coleman. She's a third-year medical student at Carle College of Medicine. She shared her experience as a young Black woman entering the medical field. Today, we're speaking with Black healthcare professionals, and we're diving into the mistrust over the years with Black Americans and the healthcare system.
If you're African American in this country, I mean, the reality is we've had years and years of bad things, you know, that have happened that have led some people to have a great mistrust of the healthcare system. And I'd say we're still overcoming that even today.
What do you think about the Black mistrust of the medical community? Drop us an email at illinois-soul@illinois.edu. Stay with us on Dialogue. after this short break. From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm your host, Kennedy Vincent. Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. You can find this podcast and share it with your friends on Spotify. We are speaking with Black healthcare professionals and a medical student about the mistrust over the years with Black Americans and the healthcare system. We just spoke with Diamond Ruby Coleman. She's a third-year medical student at Carle College of Medicine. She shared her experience as a young Black woman entering the medical field and told us about how she thinks it's justified when Black patients don't trust the healthcare system.
Because my true answer is that I wouldn't want them to trust the system. It's not for them. It's not meant for them. And I am unsure if we'll see a time in this century where they should trust the system.
We are now pivoting our conversation to speak with Dr. Henry Moore and Dr. Napoleon Knight. They work at Carle Health in Urbana, and today they're going to speak with us about the history of African Americans and the mistrust they have within the healthcare system. The history of medical racism towards the Black community in the United States goes back to over 2,000 years, according to a historical survey in the Journal of National Medical Association. From the time of slavery all the way to modern times, the African American community has had the worst health outcomes of any racial group in the country. In addition to this, they have the least access to medical resources. While we tend to revere many past doctors, scientists, and engineers for their medical findings in the past, many of them were actually responsible for creating and perpetuating racial inferiority, mythology, and stereotypes, especially about African Americans. The community was historically subjugated to non-consensual medical experiments and procedures. This complicated history and still holds an impact today. It impacts how Black Americans access care, what type of doctors they see, and what procedures they feel comfortable in trusting. So today we sat down with Dr. Henry Moore and Dr. Napoleon Knight, two Black physicians at Carle Hospital, to tell us how this history impacts them and their communities in central Illinois.
I'm Henry Moore. I am a physician at Carle. I do trauma, emergency general surgery, and critical care. And I have been at Carle for almost 16 years.
And my name is Napoleon Knight. I'm an emergency physician by training. My role at Carle Health, right now I'm the chief medical officer, and I've been in Champaign-Urbana since 1990.
Carle Hospital in Urbana is the region's only level one trauma center, meaning it serves patients from all around central Illinois. It's also the primary teaching hospital for the University of Illinois Medical School, Carle Illinois College of Medicine.
You think coming to the cornfields of Illinois that it is going to be simple bread and butter, normal stuff. And it is amazing the pathology that we see of various sorts and the ways people can get themselves into trouble of various sorts out here. It's just like everywhere else. There's just a smaller volume.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that for us, you know, because we're a level one trauma center, so we have a pretty large referral area, you know, around us, like 60, 90 miles. If you're in that circle, you know, they kind of look at us as the place to send people. So it's a great environment, you know, to take care of patients and have experience, you know, taking care of an amazing mix, you know, of things over the years.
Dr. Knight, why do you think it's important to have Black healthcare providers in the field?
I think that one thing is, I think, is still true. I mean, some people are just more comfortable when they go to see people that look like them. And there's historical reasons, you know, for that. And so if you're African American in this country, I mean, the reality is we've had years and years of bad things, you know, that have happened that have led some people to have a great mistrust of the healthcare system.
Dr. Moore, I want to ask you, is it difficult serving in Central Illinois? Do you find the community is diverse? Like, are there pockets, especially in the Black community or underserved areas?
It's surprisingly diverse. You know, it's amazing the people that come here either to work in the farm or to work for the university that, you know, are from all over the world. And, you know, it's despite the fact that we're in the middle of the country, you know, we do have a lot of people from out of town or even people that are here who are born here, but are just a little bit different than everybody else.
You know, I say that's true. And I think I tell, you know, some of my colleagues that when I came to Carl years ago, I think there were two African-American physicians, and within like 6 months, two of them had a different opportunity, so they left. So for a while, I was the only African-American, you know, physician, which was, you know, not a big thing for me because I think as I grew up, I mean, I was in that setting all the time just because there weren't a lot of other, you know, African-American kids like me that were planning on going to medical school. But the great thing is if you look at the number of physicians that we have at Carl, you know, we have people from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, people from South America, people from Taiwan, Russia. And so it's a tremendous community, I think, in which to practice medicine because you really have to stay on your P's and Q's about the different things that you wouldn't normally see, you know, in East Central Illinois.
Dr. Knight, how can we break down the understanding of Black trust in medicine?
I think that, you know, understanding history, you know, I think is critically important. So I think that in terms of trust, you have to understand what the issues were that led to the lack of trust. So, I mean, there were experiments done on African-Americans without them even knowing that they were being done. They were sometimes given diseases and no one would tell them. And because of racism, which existed in the country, people couldn't go for care or would go for care and the care would not be the best care or would be delivered in a place where you probably wouldn't want to get the care. And so all of those things are true. And so I think to understand the why, you have to go back and then you have to say, well, good, that no longer is going on, but what do we need to do to restore trust? Mm-hmm. And there's still lots of barriers that we're overcoming. Lack of housing, violence in the community, which Dr. Moore knows, you know, way too much about, you know, at this time. Access to transportation, food. So a lot of things we're still working with, but I think understanding the history, letting people understand that those historical factors are no longer true or are being addressed, and then getting people to move forward in a different way.
Like Dr. Knight says, it's a lot of historical things, you know. If your mom wasn't very trustful of doctors, your dad wasn't very trustful of doctors, you're not going to be very trustful of doctors. And so, it is opening up those lines of communication so that people will trust you. When I was at Howard, our chairman had a program because African Americans typically, although we are one of the highest recipients as a group of kidneys, there's a lot of kidney disease because of diabetes and hypertension in the African American community. There's a lot of people out there on the transplant list, and although we are one of the have heavy users of it, there's not a lot of African Americans that are willing to donate their parts, in essence, when they die. We would go into the churches and community centers around D.C. and Northern Virginia to try to convince people that, look, this is the right thing to do so we can help each other, and showing them that we are, although we aren't where we want to be, we are trying to do better as a system. And, you know, that goes for Carl, too. One of my colleagues, Tiffany, is working on is, you know, we have a lot of issues with pregnant mortality, particularly African Americans have a higher mortality rate than most other groups. Once again, it's a number of factors, a lot of which Dr. Knight already listed. And so, you know, how can we intervene on this so these patients have better outcomes within our local community? You know, how can we make our local community better? These are initiatives that we want to work on.
We're currently speaking with Dr. Henry Moore and Dr. Napoleon Knight. They're telling us about their personal experiences with the mistrust in healthcare system and what it's like being a Black doctor in today's world. Right now, they're telling us about Carle Health's recent community initiatives in the Champaign-Urbana area. I'm Kennedy Vincent, and you're currently listening to Dialogue on Illinois Soul.
If you look at the data that we've accumulated over the course of the last 3 to 4 years, for patients in that population, we actually have had zero maternal mortality, which is phenomenal because you look at some places and it's in the 15, 20, 30% range. And so it's an acknowledgement of great people doing good work, but a lot of trust and communication that you had to establish with that group to have them believe that you were actually going to do it. And now we actually have outcomes, mm-hmm. To show people that it is making a difference, including working with some of the kids that have been born and getting them into early childhood education, which is a great way, to give people future opportunity as well. In Colorado, I practiced for a while in some smaller communities. And in those communities, I was the only African-American doctor, and there's lack of trust, on both sides. And so people challenge you because they want to know, well, are you really a doctor? Do you really know all the stuff that you need to know? And you're like, well, if I wasn't, the hospital wouldn't let me be here, but people don't know that. And so, I've had situations where people have, left because they didn't want to see me. That's their right. I just tell them, if you leave, you need to understand that these are potential things, that can happen. I've had situations where, a patient was yelling and screaming at me because I told them that they needed to go to a different hospital because we couldn't take care of them where we were. And he was mad and, called me the N-word and all kinds of other things. And I actually had to have the hospital administrator come in to talk to him. And he probably was more mean to him than he was to me. Well, the guy eventually did what we asked him to do. And long story short, the same person one time finally came back to the hospital not alive, and we've resuscitated him and brought him back to life, and now he and I are actually friends. So trust, can be established in lots of ways.
Dr. Knight, what would be your advice to someone who's experienced racism in public health as a patient, and how do they move forward past that?
I think that when things like that happen, you have to use the established system, that's in place, to get your concerns to a place that they need to go. Because I think that, there probably are some places in the world, but not so much here. And I can certainly say at my institution, what we want to do is provide the best care to patients as we can. And God forbid something like that would happen, you have to use the system. And you have to say, I need to let you know that this happened with this individual. That person needs to connect with that person to find out what the issues are. And if it's true, then, we're accountable for our actions, right?
You're currently listening to Dialogue on Illinois Soul. I'm Kennedy Vincent. We're speaking with experts from Carle Health about the history of Black Americans and their mistrust with the healthcare system. Stay with us after this short break on Illinois Soul. From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. We are speaking with Black healthcare professionals and a medical student about the mistrust over the years with Black Americans and the healthcare system. We're speaking with Dr. Henry Moore and Dr. Napoleon Knight, two physicians at Carle Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. Previously, they shared their experiences as Black physicians in the U.S. healthcare system and explained some factors as to why there is mistrust in the healthcare system from the Black community. Dr. Napoleon Knight explains to us when he first started in 1979 that there were 3% black physicians in the country. 2% were male and 1% were female.
Fast forward to 33 and a half years at Carl, and the percentage is still 5% African-American physicians in the country. Now women have taken the lead. It's 3% women and it's 2% men. And so it's kind of unbelievable to see that nothing has changed. And at least from an African-American male perspective, things have actually gotten worse and all kinds of issues, you know, that go along with that.
Right now, they're sharing about the Carl Launch Scholarship Fund and their advice for black medical students and new doctors. Dr. Napoleon Knight and Dr. Henry Moore have helped spearhead the creation of the Black Physicians Launch, Thrive and Significance Fund. This fund provides scholarships to students at the Carl Illinois College of Medicine who come from underrepresented groups. The fund's creation is inspired by the physicians' own experiences as black men in the field, with hopes of funding students who will bring their skills back to their diverse communities.
When we had some conversations, you know, about this, it's like we have to do something, you know, to help make a difference. And the challenge I think that we have in healthcare is that it's a long runway. You know, to get to know where you're going, you know, there's college, there's medical school, there's residency training. That can be, what, 4, 8, 11 to 15, 16 years, you know, in order to go from point A to point B. And then the other tough thing about it is that all of that stuff is kind of expensive. And so when people finally finish medical school, if their parents couldn't afford to send them to school, I mean, I got scholarships, fortunately, you know, when I went to school, so I didn't have a lot of debt when I came out, but I have friends who finished their emergency medicine residency training, and by the time they came out, they were like $450,000 in debt. I mean, that's like a house. And so those numbers in that pathway, I think, dissuade people when they look at some of the other things that they can do, you know, in their life. But I tell people that even though it's a long road and all kinds of stuff that you have to do, I don't think there's anything more fulfilling, you know, than being a physician and taking care of people, you know, in their times of need. And maybe we're kind of extreme examples because we see people on their worst days, but I think still generally true.
The idea of trying to provide for African Americans, particularly at our college, and, you know, underserved students. We are trying to pull in a very specific subset of people at this medical school. So we want people. My son is actually starting medical school this summer, and he didn't apply to our school because he has no interest in engineering. He is not the innovator, you know. That's not his thing. You know, he wants to go and learn how to be, you know, a doctor. And so you are looking for a specific subset of people who are interested not only in medicine and in changing lives, but also in innovation and engineering and trying to make a situation better of something that we're already doing. Hopefully, that takes a specific mind, and there's not a lot of them. You know, there's not a lot of them throughout the nation. And so we're trying to pull people from all over the place. And if we're only 5% of the normal, you know, the normal bits of students, we're even probably less percentage African-Americans of the people who want to be surgical innovators, who want to be physician innovators. Us doing what we can to help say, you know, although we have a really expensive medical school, we're going to help you with some of this cost so that you don't end up owning a house before you own a house. You know, it is something that I think we as a group of African-American black physicians at Carl decided to do to help out the medical school and to sort of try to get more folks like us in the pipeline so that they can come out and be surgical innovators and create the next new widget and hopefully a better widget than what we have now.
What do you think about the mistrust between the Black community and the U.S. healthcare system? Stay connected with us on Dialogue. You can leave us a voicemail at 217-244-1989. We're also looking for folks to tell us something good about their day or week. So you can send us an email at illinois-soul@illinois.edu. Stay with us on Dialogue. Dr. Moore, what would you say to young Black doctors going into this field?
I can't imagine doing anything else. The job is hard, particularly the jobs that we chose is very hard because it's hard to watch people die. And even despite everything that you do, you can't save everybody. And so I'm not saying our job is easy, but it's very fulfilling. You know, there are days when you walk in the room and the patients are like, thank you very much for helping me because, you know, I had X, Y, or Z. You know, and that makes you feel good that like I did something right, you know, today, because things don't always go the way you want them to. You get warm fuzzies from going around and doing your job. And there's a lot of jobs out there where people do stuff that does it really add value to someone's life? You know, does it really affect people? No. I mean, it's a job for you to have a job so you can go do something that's sort of interesting. But, you know, we have jobs where we get to actually help people on a daily basis. And we love it. I mean, you can't do this if you didn't love it. I want people who want that. You know, I want to go help people. I want to be able to figure out the problem and fix the problem. As a surgeon, that's how I am. I want to be able to fix the problem and then, you know, the patient gets better. I mean, there's nothing better than that. You know, that's sort of the goal. And so that's what I hope these perspectives to people who are looking at medicine saying, maybe that's for me. Yeah, I mean, it's a great job. I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't gotten into medical school. You know, I guess I'd probably be a teacher somewhere because I like teaching. But, you know, it's like those are the two big things where you can have a direct impact on people. You can teach them, you know, teach kids, and hopefully they grow up to be good people and go out and save the world. Or, you know, you can directly help people by being a physician. So that's just something that's in me.
Dr. Knight, what would you say to young Black doctors going into this field?
You know, I would say to them that it's an unbelievable choice, you know, that they're making. I think that my grandfather used to say there's jobs and then there's careers. Jobs are what get you from point A to point B. A career is something that you want to do for the rest of your life. And the way that I measure that is, do I like what I do every single day when I get up? And the truth of the matter is, I love it, you know, because you're doing, you know, many of the things, you know, that Dr. Moore, you know, has already talked about. And there's a lot of things that you really couldn't say that, you know, and maybe I'm, you know, kind of out of my lane. I mean, I don't know what people value in the jobs that they do, but I know in this career, you know, you get to learn continuously. And to me, that's a fun thing. That's right. Because if I don't want to learn every day, I can't do this because everything changes every day in terms of drugs or therapies that, you know, or the other. You know, the tremendous feedback that you get from patients. It's like even today when I walked into the building downstairs, the lady that was at the front desk says, "Oh, Dr. Knight, how are you?" And you're like, "Oh, I don't remember you." And I'm sure you get the same thing. You walk in, you're in the store, you know, you're at the movie theaters. People tap you on the, "Oh, thank you so much for what you did." I mean, that's impactful. shows you that you did the right thing. And for some of the incredibly complicated patients that Dr. Moore takes care of, I mean, it's like a miracle sometimes that these people came from where they started, you know, to where they got, and then, you know, the impact that it has on their life. And so I think that, you know, we impact people's lives, you know, all the time. I mean, I'm not trying to be God or anything like that, but it's really neat to see that you can make that difference. And for me, that's the reason that I keep, you know, doing the stuff that I do. I would also say that to any young person out there that's interested in being, you know, a, you know, physician, especially if they're a young African-American, you know, we have a ton of people, you know, at Carle who are great resources. We try to connect with people on a regular basis, because I think that sometimes if people say, well, there's none of those doctors out there. And it's like, well, actually there are. And I think that we can help give them a perspective. I think that sometimes people think of doctors and it's like, oh, there's blood and guts and this and that. And you're like, no, there's lots of different careers in medicine that don't involve any of that. And I think that sometimes people limit what they can do because they have a small concept of what it can be. You know, like radiologists, some see patients, many never see a patient. You know, pathologists, they're looking at specimens, you know, underneath the microscope. And so there's lots of different options, you know, that you have, you know, with this as a career choice. And so I would just encourage people not to take the small view. If you have an interest and you want to connect, you know, with someone, you know, please get in touch, you know, with one of us, and we can connect you with someone that'd be willing to have a conversation. Or, you know, I've mentored a number of young people, you know, over the time that I've been, you know, a physician. And I love doing that, right? Because you see this potential in this young person. And if you just steer that potential and support that person, then they can actually get, you know, where they're going, and have someone standing behind them to ensure that they do, and not being a barrier in, you know, keeping it from happening.
Thank you both so much for coming on the Dialogue Show. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
You can now find the Dialogue podcast on Spotify and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Illinois Soul. Dialogue's executive producers are Nidhi Shastri and myself, Kennedy Vincent. Our news and public affairs director is Reginald Hardwick, and production assistance by Steve Mork. Dialogue's theme song is by Lamont Holden. Dialogue is a part of Illinois Soul and Illinois Public Media. Join us for our next Dialogue, Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on Illinois Soul, and Wednesdays at 8 p.m. on AM 580.